Defense contractors working in battle zones suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome, just like many of the troops they support. Now, a new study by the RAND Corporation says one difference is how little help contractors have available to them. Joining us with more, political scientist Molly Dunnigan and political and policy researcher Carrie Farmer, both of RAND. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
All right, so let's start, if we can. Molly, why don't we start with you? What is the scope of people involved in this study? In other words, how many contractors were subject to possibly getting PTSD over the past couple of years in Afghanistan, I guess in Iraq also?
So we surveyed 660 contractors who had deployed to a theater of conflict, not just Iraq and Afghanistan, at any point within the past 2 years. The survey was in the field in early 2013, so that would go back any time as far as early 2011. And we had 660 respondents to the survey. We found that 25% of our sample reported or screened positive for probable PTSD and 18% screened positive for probable depression. This is significantly higher than what we've seen in military populations, where the range is anywhere from 4 to 20% for PTSD.
Okay, so it's a lot worse then. And Carrie, how did you do the what kind of questions did you ask? How did you get at this problem in this study?
So we used standardized scales that are commonly used in a lot of mental health research, including a lot of the research that's been done in the military population, so that we could compare these estimates more accurately. So they are self-screening questions, but they correlate very highly with a diagnosis of PTSD and depression.
All right. And so I guess the other question is, what were they specifically doing? I mean, there's contractors in the theater, and then there's those on the front lines, I guess. I mean, some people are different locations relative to battle. What did the people that answered actually do, you know, in general?
So that's a great question. Prior studies on this have only looked at private security contractors, those either working as bodyguards or securing convoys or working as static site security, basically guarding gates. We tried to broaden this out and look at a much broader spectrum of contractors that deploy to theaters of conflict. So almost 50% of our sample were involved in some sort of security. 10% of that included maritime security. The other 40% were land security, which are the categories I just mentioned before: personal security details, convoy security, and site security. So we had about a quarter of our sample who were involved in training and advising, about 7% who were doing base support and maintenance, which is essentially things like laundry, cooking, cleaning on bases. 4% were doing logistics and maintenance, and 4% were involved in transportation. We also had smaller percentages that were involved in things like construction, explosive ordnance disposal, a very wide range of contractors that deploy.
So some of it was pretty stressful, I guess, like explosive ordnance disposal.
Right. We did have some screening questions in there to look at combat exposure, and we found that at least among our sample, the rates of combat exposure were comparable to what you see among military samples.
And so just to summarize the top line number, how does the rate of PTSD after the fact compare with those of military members themselves?
So in the military, the rates that have been reported are pretty wide. So it's anywhere from 4 to 20%, depending on the scale that's used and when the study is conducted relative to a deployment. So we feel that these rates are higher, comparable to higher than in the military population, which is an interesting finding to us. We weren't necessarily expecting that.
Well, one of the things you found is that 84% of the contractors had prior military experience. So is it possible that they had like a higher baseline of exposure to things that would cause post-traumatic stress disorder before they went back as contractors? And maybe that could explain the higher rate?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, the majority were veterans and had prior military experience, and the vast majority of those had had prior deployments to combat zones as well, mostly OAF, OIF, to Iraq and Afghanistan. And so it's certainly possible that either they were coming into their contracting role already with some mental health problems, or that you know, in some way that put them at higher risk for having mental health problems with additional deployments on contract.
We're speaking with Molly Dunnigan. She's a political scientist at RAND Corporation, and Carrie Farmer, a policy researcher at RAND, talking about the report showing post-traumatic stress disorder on the part of contractors. So moving on then, what about treatment available to them? I mean, that seems to be the logical next question here. Is there any treatment available to them from their companies or from the U.S. military?
Go ahead, Molly,
why don't you go?
We found that contractors may have less access to health care and insurance than military populations, particularly depending on when they decide to seek care and the trajectory of their contract. So if they do so while they're still on contract, they may still be insured. But if they do so right when they return from a contract deployment, they may have lost that insurance. Nearly a quarter of our respondents who screened positive for PTSD or depression were uninsured when filling out the survey. Furthermore, 72% of them had screened positive, or those that screened positive for probable PTSD or depression had not received mental health treatment.
All right, so then the question becomes, is this something that that RAND is concluding that the military should have some responsibility for, Carrie?
Well, it's a complex question. I don't know that it's the military's responsibility. You know, it may be the responsibility of the companies that are employing these contractors. It may also be the responsibility of those that are funding these contracts. So, for example, the Department of Defense or the Department of State or other funders. It's, you know, given that a large proportion of these contractors are veterans, there may also be some responsibility in the Veterans Administration. These contractors may fall into a gap where they're not eligible for health care through the VA, but perhaps that's something that should be considered.
Now, RAND does research independently. You're not like the Government Accountability Office where Congress orders this particular study. What was the impetus behind this? Did someone in the military ask for this particular study?
No, this was an internally funded study at RAND that we initiated because we had heard about PTSD and other problems affecting civilian deployers, people who deploy from the State Department or the U.S. Agency for International Development. We had heard media reports about this, and RAND has done prior research on contractors, and so we thought, you know, this might be an area that this really could be a problem in. So this is primarily aimed as an exploratory and preliminary study to gauge the extent of the problem.
And so what happens to the study now? Will you present it to the powers that be?
Yes, we have presented it fairly extensively already throughout Washington and also in London, which is a big hub for the industry. And, you know, we do think that there is quite a bit of potential for looking into these issues further, but we'll have to see where that goes from here.
Yeah, I was wondering if you had any initial response from people that would be employing these contractors, what they think DOD should do, if anything.
I think at this point, the audiences that we've been briefing the study to have been digesting the information. I think one of the things that's difficult is, as I mentioned before, where the duty of care lies. So is it with the contracting companies? Is it with the funders of the contracts? One issue that may arise is that if contracting companies start providing additional services, that obviously increases their costs. And it may make them uncompetitive relative to companies that are not providing those kinds of services in bidding for contracts. So one possible solution may be that providing mental health care and addressing these issues become a requirement of the contracts themselves.
And just to follow up quickly on something you mentioned about the United Kingdom, where there, you said is a large location for these, are we talking about UK-based companies providing services to the U.S. military?
Both. It's such a transnational industry. So there are companies based in the UK who hire citizens from a range of countries, including the UK, the US, and many, many others. And they work for UK clients, they work for US clients, they work for other international clients. It's just very, very transnational.
All right. Molly Dunnigan is a political scientist at RAND Corporation. Carrie Farmer is a policy researcher at RAND. And we thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us.